appreciate the information Dr. Ruckman reads before the services, and I got some things in my Bible I want to, I've been making notes here for a bunch of years, and just some, this is the way the world operates. You know, you got to listen for these things, and they give you some terms of contradiction. I'm trying to fool you. Jumbo shrimp. Clean dirt. Christian rock. Female logic. Criminal justice. World champion Buffalo Bills. Christian attorney. Central Intelligence Agency. Freezer burn. What is that? Rap music. I got four questions in my Bible here I'm asking God to answer. I hope he does. Here's the first one. Why do they use sterilized needles for lethal injections? Why do kamikaze pilots wear helmets? How do they get deer to cross at the deer crossing signs? If we get olive oil from olives, how do we get baby oil? Any of you can help me with those, I'd appreciate it. I was shaving this morning, and I looked in the corner, I saw a spider. So I did what you're supposed to do when you see a spider. I ran to the other room and I got a pad of paper and a... Hey, little spider on the wall. Ain't you got no clothes at all? Don't you have a favorite shirt? It might be easier to wear a skirt. When it is that I am gone, feel free to turn the TV on. God has made you very small, and he has made me very tall. Though different, we have this the same. God is our maker. Bless his name. God's given us legs to make us mobile. Oh, by the way, do you know Scott Strobel? I asked Brother Strobel if I could read that poem, and he said no. I love you, Brother Strobel. I appreciate you. Exodus chapter 20 tonight. Two gamblers are walking out of church. One of them says, "It's Hallelujah, not Hialeah." So if you want to yell hallelujah tonight, praise the Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for. Appreciate the good preaching we've heard, the challenges from the Word of God. And I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I want to help you. You might not think I want to, but I do. Look with me at Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1. You look at this chapter, you know immediately what it's about, the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is the only God, and He wants you to realize that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We're not to use the Lord's name in vain. We're not to have idols before us. God is jealous when we give our attention elsewhere. Verse 8 says, Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy men servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We don't normally keep the Sabbath. I know when I was a Roman Catholic, I was instructed by my mom and dad, we wouldn't work on Sunday. The only thing my mom would do on Sunday is fix dinner. We'd go to church in the morning, come home and have dinner. She'd work in the kitchen. We'd help her clean up, and that was it. You wouldn't do another stitch of work. Might not be a bad idea. You know, we've got so many of these time-saving devices, all these helps, and we still don't have time to rest. Verse 13, Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Terrible, terrible things. We hear a lot of preaching on these things. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God here stated the Ten Commandments to us. And we hear preaching against this, Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't have idols before you. I missed one, didn't I? Verse 12 says, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Father, thank you for tonight, for the blessing of being in this church. Thank you for these dear, faithful people that are here. Lord, you know my heart. You know what my desire is. And I pray I be obedient to your guidance and leadership. I pray, Lord, that you do a work here tonight through this message. Hide me behind the cross. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe there's a need to preach this. And Lord, I want to be faithful to your leading in Jesus' name. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Here's the Ten Commandments. It's in the Word of God. It's before you. It's in front of you. It's in black and white. We have it stated and included in these Ten Commandments. God says, honor thy father and thy mother. You said that's Old Testament. Look with me in Ephesians 6. How many of you have ever had a mother and father? Raise your hand. This just applies to you. Ephesians 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Very similar to how God stated it in Exodus chapter 20. Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. the promise there of long life for honoring your parents is continued here in the New Testament. How's things with Mom and Dad tonight? How's things with Mom and Dad? Oh, we're preaching against adultery, and we're preaching against cursing and swearing, and we're preaching against those wicked sins of anger and murder and stealing and robbery and dishonesty and lusting. Let me ask you a question tonight. How's things with Mom and Dad? Look with me in Genesis chapter 22. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know what? You know why I'm preaching that? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Genesis 22. And here's a study of Abraham taking Isaac to offer him. Genesis 22, verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Bide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You read on here and you see that Isaac gave no objection to what his father wanted to do. He was an obedient child. And what an example that is to us. Very early in the Word of God, this man said, I will do what my dad wants me to do. I will honor him. I will be obedient to him. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Look what it says in the Word of God. Leviticus 19. Look what God is stating here in Leviticus 19 and verse number 3. Leviticus 19:3, Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You know what God wants? God wants children to fear mom and dad. Now let me explain something to you. I feared my dad, but I also loved my dad. And I believe with the godly guidance that I got from my mom and dad, and especially my dad in those early years, the fear that I had from him has carried through into my Christianity. And because of what my dad showed me, I fear God. Because the love that my dad was able to show me, I can then associate with a loving Father in heaven. And as I feared my dad, I fear God. You know what we don't have enough of nowadays? Fear of God. You know, you see these things on windshields. No fear. No fear. That's not true. You'll have some fear. If God would, for an instant, just crack this floor open and show us what's going on in the center of this earth and hell, and you could hear that screaming, and you could feel that heat, and you could see that torture going on, you'd have a fear if you didn't know Christ the Savior. You need to fear God. I remember one time my daughter was on the telephone. She was a teenager, and she wasn't married yet, and she wasn't dating, and I wouldn't allow dating. And any time, and I told my daughter, I says, any boy wants to talk to you, he's got to talk to me first. So some clown called up once, and my daughter says, you better talk to my dad. So I grabbed the phone and I said, who is this? Blah, blah, blah. What do you want? I want to talk to your daughter. She can't talk to you. Goodbye. A couple days later, I got another telephone call from somebody else. I want to talk to your daughter. You can't talk to my daughter. Why not? Well, she's just not ready to talk to you. Then I got another telephone call. And my daughter says, he wants to talk to you. I said, hello, who is this? Click. It's getting better. They were hanging up. And you know what? My daughter came to me and she says, Dad, all these boys are afraid of you. God gave my daughter a godly husband. God gave my second daughter a godly husband. Now you just open the doors and windows and let some trash in your house, and then you're going to wonder why you have that problem. And then you go to the preacher and say, oh, what can I do? What can we, what are we going to do about this? Well, you can nip things in the bud. You can nip it in the bud, but you got to work at it. You're going to be unpopular. You're going to state some things at home that maybe they're not going to like. Well, you know what you're doing? You're protecting the family. There needs to be children having fear in a loving way. Let me show you this. Look at Luke chapter 2, New Testament. Luke chapter 2. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 46. We've seen an example from Isaac. We've seen Leviticus telling us children are told to fear father and mother. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Listen. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And that's something. Was subject unto Mary and Joseph. Here's God manifest in the flesh, showing us an example to be obedient to mom and dad. Say, oh, come on, this is not very popular. Get into some deep, dark, doctrinal thing. Tell me how many hair will be on the angels' wings during the tribulation. Don't you know that? No, it says in the Word of God, honor thy mother and thy father. Let me show you some things. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. How are things with mom and dad? Young people, how's things going at home with mom and dad? Oh, you read your Bible and you pray and you've memorized some verses and you're in the choir and you're doing a good job. How's things with mom and dad? Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 8. Proverbs 1:8, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Young people, be obedient to mom and dad. And you say, well, you know, it's saying there about young people, and you know, that's kind of when they're real young, and when we get a little bit older, that kind of dissipates, and we don't have to do that anymore. I had some people ask me, how old can my children be before they just go off on their own and they don't ask me any advice, where parents don't have any influence? My daughter is 29 years old, and she calls me for advice. I got a daughter that's 27 years old, and she calls me for advice. I've got a son that's 24 years old. And I give him advice. He might not want it, but he's getting my advice. And I'll butt in if I have to. Now you say, well, you're violating some things with husband and wife. No, you know what? I have my son-in-laws come to me and ask me for advice. Because they really didn't get it at home like they were supposed to. Listen, you need to be a facility for your children. where they can come and get some advice, because you have the experience and they don't. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. How's things with mom and dad? Proverbs 6, look at verse 20. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Influence of mom and dad. Influence. You know something, mom and dad tell us some things, and young people, you just don't understand that. You don't agree with it. Oh, if I could get out. Oh, if things would be a whole lot better if I was independent. If I could go live so with so-and-so. If I could be away and I wouldn't have to be under their jurisdiction. It's a funny thing that the older I got, the smarter my dad was. How many times have you heard that? The older I got, the smarter my dad was. Today, I understand what mom and dad were trying to do. Young people, you need to hang on. You need to listen to mom and dad. My dad's gone. He died 24 years ago. I miss my dad. I broke my dad's heart so many times. And I'm preaching this message tonight because I don't want you to break your dad's heart. I've done some things that I told you about tonight I'm ashamed of doing. Now, I didn't break any laws. I just did some terribly disrespectful things. I remember I was going to college and I needed the car. I had a night class and my dad was working nights. My dad worked nights 35 years. I never knew my dad that he didn't work nights. I finally left home, got married, worked for Kodak, and then he retired. But all the time I was home, my dad worked nights. And I said to my dad, you know, I got to have the car tonight. Can I have the car? And he says, yeah, go ahead. And I said, it'll be great. And you know what? I could have got a ride from somebody else. But I wanted to use the car. So he gave me the car. And I drove that big Buick. I needed some gas, so I went around our corner, went to a gas station, and I was going down the main drag, and I saw a bus coming down the road, and it stopped, and it picked up three people. One of them was my dad, holding his lunch, getting on a bus. And I said, wow, I got the car, and Dad's got to get on the bus. What a reprobate thing to do. I wish I could take that back tonight. But I can't. I wish I could do something to take away that hurt that I gave my dad. There was times where he would tell me I need to be home at a specific time and I wasn't there, and I came home and he was all upset, and you know what would happen with my dad? When he got upset, he never talked to me. He'd talk to my mom. If I'd missed school or something, he saw me in bed laying there, and he wouldn't come to me and say, what are you doing home from school? He'd go to my mom and he'd say, what's he doing home? It was like we were out of fellowship. My dad, he'd teach you to eat everything on the plate. And I'd just cut some things out and I'd leave some fat, and we'd have pork chops. He loved pork chops. And he'd get upset if he didn't eat the bones. And I'd leave some things there, you know, some grizzle and whatever, and he would say, look at my plate, and he'd look at my mom and say, what's wrong with what? He's not eating there. Why don't you talk to me? So I'd get home late, and he'd tell me to be home at a specific hour, and I abused that. And I walked in the door, and I saw that look on his face. It wasn't a look of disgust. It was a look of worry. And he didn't come to me and say, where you been? He looked at my mom, and he said, ask him where he'd been. And you know what that showed me? I can get out of fellowship with God. The time God doesn't want to talk to me. I might want to talk to God. I might want to pray. But if I don't confess my sins and get right with Him, He won't listen to me. Brother, that's so important. It's so important that
we understand we can break the heart of God. Let me ask you some house things with mom and dad. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. You see, well, Pastor, again, I just think this is when we're little kids and maybe we're going to grade school and after that we're kind of on the independent side. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Maybe your mom's aged tonight. Maybe your dad is retired. Maybe he can't hear well anymore. Maybe there's some disenchantment with mom and dad. You know, I got a certain lifestyle I want to live, and mom, you just don't fit into it. Dad, it's just kind of slowing me down. You know what the Bible says in the commandments? Honor thy father and thy mother. I see so much of people just taking mom and putting her off to the side. Taking dad and put him off to some nursing home somewhere. And you get involved in the program there, dad, and I'll come and see you. You know, we have a nursing home ministry in our church. I'm sure many of you do. Go to those people. And say, when was the last time somebody visited you from your family? It'll break your heart. Listen, you're not putting mom and dad aside, are you? You're not putting mom and dad on the shelf there somewhere. Just, I'll call you, don't call me. I'm sorry, that doesn't fit in with honor thy father and thy mother. You know, you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. My mom and dad are lost, or my dad's lost, my mom's lost. And I try to give them the gospel, and they're just completely rejected it, and they're Christ rejectors. Yeah, my mom and dad were Christ rejectors when I got saved. And I had a whole ton of zeal, but no knowledge. If I could, I wrote my mom and dad a 7-page letter that if you read it tonight, your socks would curl. I told them everything they were doing wrong about the Catholic Church. And I never told them what was right with Jesus and salvation. And I built walls with my parents. But listen, the Bible doesn't say if your parents are saved, honor them. The Bible doesn't say, well, if they agree with what you're doing in the Bible and they agree with your church going and they agree with your ministry and they agree with you being a missionary. It doesn't say that. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. I think people are dishonoring parents today. I see it. I'm going to tell you something. I had an individual in my church, saved, born again, Bible-believing, Christian, loved the Lord, believed the book, went out on visitation. And one day I was having a conversation with him, and I said, how's things with your mom and dad? He says, well, my mom and I get along real good. I said, well, your dad, is he dead? He said, oh, no. I said, well, where is your dad? He said, oh, he lives about 5 miles from here. I said, how is he doing? He says, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? What's going on? He says, I haven't spoken to my dad in 12 years. You mean you can open your Bible and read your Bible and ask God to bless this and you can't have a conversation with your dad? Well, he hurt my feelings. I just wonder how much of that is going on in Christianity. How much of that's going on perhaps in this very room? There's something going on with you and mom or you and dad, and you just stay over there and leave me alone, and I don't want to have any contact with you. Hey, the Bible says if you keep the whole law, you'd offend in one point. You're guilty of all. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder anybody. I don't steal. How about mom and dad? How's the honor coming? I wish my mom and dad were alive. You know why I'm preaching this? Because if your mom and dad are alive, or maybe one of them's alive, I'm going to encourage you to do something good with them. Do something right with them. I remember the last time, my mom lived to be 92 and a half years old. And when she was 92, I had to take her to the doctor. And I picked her up and I put her in the truck and I seat-belted her and I took her to the doctor. And then after the doctor, I'm taking her out to Perkins. And my mom wouldn't eat once a day or twice a day. She'd eat about 10 times a day. But, you know, she'd order 3 pancakes and 3 pieces of bacon and a piece of toast, and then she'd eat one pancake, she'd take everything else home with her. She'd drink half a cup of coffee. And she'd just drive me crazy. Then she'd get home about half an hour, she's heating up the pancakes and heating up the bacon and having another cup of coffee, a half. And about 2 hours later, and you know what she's doing? She's grazing all day. Just all day, she's just eating a little bit here. You'd never see Mom going, burr, burr, burr. Never. I mean, she was so thin. She was in good shape, 92 and a half years old. So I took her to Perkins, and she had something to eat, and took some of that home. And then I put her in the truck, and I seat-belted her. And I'll tell you how small my mom was. I put the shoulder harness on her. And on my mom, the shoulder harness went across her face. So what I do, I said, okay, Mom, lift your left arm. And she lifted, and I put it under there and prayed we wouldn't get into an accident. I cut her left arm off. So I'm driving her home, and we're talking, and she made out good at the doctor, and she's got to watch this and come back in 2 months. And the Lord said, look. You said, the Lord didn't say that. The Lord said, look. And I'm driving, and I looked. He said, what do you see? I said, I see my mom. He said, what else you see? I said, I see the lady that dressed me when I was a kid. I see the lady that would make me sit down in a chair and put my foot up so she could tie my shoes. I see the one that carried me to school when I didn't want to go to school because she was concerned about me. I see the one that, when I had a cold, would make me lie down on the bed just before I went to sleep at night and lift my pajama tops and put that Vicks VapoRub on me. Never fail. She'd be rubbing into my chest and I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. She'd never just stay at my chest. There'd always have to be some wicked stroke of Vicks put across your nose. I didn't know how to swear, but if I did, I would have at that time. And I remember when I'd be in bed, only Mom could tuck you in the way you need to be tucked in. Dad would come over and he'd try to do something and squash me, and it wasn't until Mom came over, and I know they both loved me. And I remember Mom being there for my graduation, Mom being there for my wedding, and Mom just plain being there with Dad. Maybe Dad didn't tell me he loves me all the time, but he sure showed it. But brethren, I didn't appreciate it when I had it. And I wasn't obedient to honor thy mother and thy father when I should have been. I visited my mom and took her home that day. And my mom said, would you do me a favor? I said, sure. And she says, well, we prayed. And she said, would you? There's a lady across the hall. She's 75 years old. To my mom, she was just a kid. And she said, this lady fell down. Would you just, on your way out, knock on the door and see how she's doing? Tell her that I asked for her. And if there's anything I can do, let me know. I said, okay, Mom, I'll do that. So I knocked on her door and her daughter came out. Her daughter was some middle-aged hussy. And I says, I'm Jim Kopacheski. My mom lives over here. and she wanted to know how your mom's doing. She said, oh, I just had to bring her back from the doctor, and she's on this kind of medication, and she's going to have a walker, and who knows how long she's going to do this thing, and she says, look what you've got to look forward to. And I says, you know, I got a 9mm Beretta in the trunk. I can put you out of her misery. Look what you got to look forward to. That was the very day that God had me look at my mom and think about what good things she did and my dad did for me. And hear this woman saying, look what you got to look forward to. God spoke to me about that. I said to the lady, I'm awful sorry, that's how you feel. How do you feel about it? You got something to look forward to mom and dad? Look with me in Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, look with me in verse 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, there's no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer. I didn't rob my mom and dad. Maybe you robbed them of some blessings. Maybe you robbed them of some precious time that you could spend together with them. My mom and dad are gone. I wish they weren't. Look at Ephesians 6. This kind of Bible preaching is this? It's King James Bible preaching. I'm not reading Dear Abby. I'm not reading Dr. Spock. We've already looked at this. Ephesians 6. Look at verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. A promise. My mom lived to be 92 and a half, and you know, when she got to be 75, and then she got to be 80, and she got to be 85, she says, how long am I going to live? How long am I? And I said, Mom, I don't know how long you're going to live, but just keep going and praise the Lord, and that's good. It's good. You're getting smaller. She was shrinking. You know, if she lived any longer, I mean, you know, we put her in a basket and carry her around. You could maybe sit up there with that spider or something. But one day I'm talking to her, and she gets 90 years old. She says, how long am I going to live? How long? And I says, Mom, I wonder why, if I don't know why you're living so long, besides grazing all day. And my mom had four sisters and two brothers. Two brothers became Catholic priests. And all those sisters got married and left home, and the brothers left home. And Mom was left taking care of Mom and Dad. Finally, her father died. Her mother came down with severe arthritis, crippling arthritis. My mom took care of her mom. And I said, Mom, how long did you take care of your mom? She says, for years. She says, your dad wanted to marry me for the longest time. And she says, I put it off for about 6 years. I'd be 6 years older today. And I said, Mom, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you honor your mother and your father, God is going to give you long life. She says, that's it. That's it. And you know what? I believe that was a stepping stone to her being interested in what the Bible said. Because it wasn't soon after that that I was able to lead her to Christ. And she got saved. She's in heaven today. I don't know about my dad. I'm not sure. I never saw any results or fruit from him. I know my mom's in heaven. But listen, Mom lived longer, I believe, because she honored Mom and Dad. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Look at this verse 20. Do you want to please the Lord? Sure you do. Amen? I mean, it's not a trick question. You want to please the Lord? Look at Colossians 3:20. This is Bible. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I didn't hear a lot of amens with that. I didn't even hear any hallelujahs. The Bible says you honor your mom and dad, it's pleasing. You know what God does? He smiles on you. It's not an easy thing to do. Let's face it, some of our parents are hard to get along with. You know, you get to a certain age, they get set in their ways. Amen? In fact, I was talking to my mom and dad, and I said, you know, I try to visit you as often as I can. I live in Rochester. They live in Buffalo. And I said, you know, sometimes I love you people, but sometimes I can't take you for very long. I says, you know, Mom, I says, I could probably only stay here for about 3 hours, and then you start getting on my nerves. And my mother, she says, I can only stand you for about an hour and a half. But how about spending an hour and a half with Mom? How about doing something special with Dad? Well, Dad's, you know, he is. He doesn't hear. I got to say everything 3 times. Well, say it 3 times. You know how many times I got to say things to my dad today? Your mom and dad's still around. Take some advantage of it. I wish my dad was here. You know what I'd do if my dad was here? I'd go out and buy him a suit. Never bought him a suit. Go out and buy him a pair of shoes. Spiff them up. Take them to dinner. Fuss over them. Your mom and dad are around? Maybe you don't have to spend any money on them, but just give them some attention. Give them some honor. Give them some honor. Do what's pleasing to the Lord. You know what my dad taught me? He said, listen. We were kids. You know what used to happen a long time ago? Kids used to shut up. Kids didn't used to be the center of attention. You know, you go somewhere today and there's some kids running and they just demand this. And I know they're cute and I got grandchildren, but boy, they got to be put down. They got to be put down. Hey! And that's when they just walk in. I got to get their attention. But my dad taught me, he said, listen, you, when we're having company, you sit there and listen. And I'd do that. And I'd learn. I mean, sure, my dad smoked cigars and drank beer, and my uncles would come around, and 4 uncles at one time smoking cigars. I was raised on that stuff. I can see across the smoke-filled room. But I learned to listen. We had some fellowship today at Brother Donovan's home. I was sitting at the table and Dr. Ruckman was there. And I heard him give out some experiences in his life. I listened. I learned. Someday he might not be with us. But I can say I heard him. I listened to him. You know what God wants you to do, brethren? He wants you to listen. Sometimes you just plain shut up and listen. And he says to you tonight, honor thy father and thy mother. Give them honor. You see, listen, my mom and dad are gone. I know what you're saying, preacher, but it's gone and too late. Do this. Go to your church. Find some gray-haired old saint. Why don't you go up to her or go up to him and say, ma'am, I'd like to adopt you. My mom and dad are gone. I want you to be my mom. I want to fuss over you. I want to take you out on Mother's Day. I want people to know that you're my adopted mom. I want you to be giving me a big present on my birthday. You know, you show those people that kind of attention, they'll fuss over you. They're looking for somebody to mother. They're looking for somebody to be a dad for. And God will be pleased. How's things with mom and dad? You see, well, all those verses they're talking about, little tykes and parents and, you know, first grade. No, brother. You got a mom and dad? How's the honor? How's things going with mom and dad? Maybe just a call. Maybe a note. Maybe a visit. We don't get along real good. Maybe just a hug. And don't accuse me of being mushy. But just some affection and love to mom and dad. God will be honored. God will be honored. Father, thank you for the verses in this word. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Lord, I thank you for my mom and dad. I thank you for the influence they had on my life. Bless the people that are here that are moms and dads. Bless the ones that are here that need to get some things right with mom and dad. And Lord, thank you for the guidance and leadership of your Holy Spirit in showing us what we need to do. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to do right. I pray you bless what's been said in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, before we take a break, I'd like you, if you would just play something for us. Let's bow our heads and have a little season of prayer before we get out here and socialize for a while. And give you a little time to think these things over. And if you're a Christian and haven't been treating mom and daddy right, I might ask you to come to the altar tonight, and I'm asking you right there where you're sitting in that chair, in that pew, to tell the Lord about it. If there's something He wants you to do, to make some show of attention or show of affection, you're going to do it. My mother and dad are both lost. Mother's a chronic alcoholic. Died chronic alcoholic. Father, an unsaved man. Christmas time, come home, I'd go home, I didn't enjoy home, I couldn't have fellowship with them. Now, I know some of you like that. Some of you guys come down here to school. You're past the place where you have fellowship with your family. There's too big a breach, see? Understand that. But you can be polite to them. You can be nice to them. You can send them a card once in a while. You can phone them once in a while. And a Mother's Day, a Father's Day, you send them a card and tell them just you thank them for taking care as long as they did. Now listen, I know some of you kids had a father and one of them wasn't worth shooting. I'm an old dog. I've been around a long time. No tricks for me. Some of you kids had a mother that wasn't fit to raise a cat. Some of you. And some of you know I'm telling the truth. And maybe you still have to tangle with them once in a while. I don't know. Now listen, kids. Some of you kids that are saved and trying to serve God, you don't have to get thick with them if they're living like the devil. You don't have to have fellowship with them for living like the devil. But if they're mother and father, you do owe them something. And you owe them some honor. So, don't be rude to them. Don't ignore them. And occasionally, let them know that you appreciate them and you're praying for them. And I know you can't live with some. I understand that. But you can be nice to them. When I got saved, the first thing I did was get in the car and I drove all day and all night and all the next day. 2 days and a half to Chesapeake Bay. Got on my knees from mother and father. And I said, I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know how to witness. I just burdened about them. I made a perfect fool out of myself. I did one thing right. I got on and said, Mom and Dad, I want you to forgive me the way I lived as a teenager. I caused you a lot of heartache. I mean, arrest, jail, and reform school, and all industrial, all that kind of stuff, you know. I caused you a lot of shame in the family, and I said, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I sure am glad I did that. I never saw him again after that. Oh, 10 years later, they're both dead. I had a wife desert and go up there and try to strip them of what money she could get. She didn't even tell me when they were sick and died. And by the time I found out they died, they'd been dead for 8 days. Didn't even know where they were buried. I went up there about a week after I found out about it. Went out that plot. John Hamilton Ruckman, the colonel. Mary Warner Armstrong Ruckman. Marion Ruckman, my sister, all buried 2 feet apart. Got on my knees and said, "Lord, I sure thank you. I got to say what I've said for the women. I'd sure hate to say it now. It'd be too late. Have something you can say nice now, kid? Say it. Save the lost. Maybe they led you the wrong way. I understand. But you don't have to go the way they went. But you can show them that you love them. Father, bless your people here, especially this morning or this afternoon, tonight, these young people that are here. They have these family problems there. Parents just like we parents have problems with them. And Lord, may they not, in this hour of meditation, may they resolve to do something about it before it's too late. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You all take about 10 minutes break.